All right, let's dive into some pretty complex stuff today. Nicholas Luhmann, a sociologist who tackled some of the biggest questions in philosophy.
Yeah, using systems theory, which isn't exactly the usual toolkit you see.
I mean, not your typical philosopher, right? Going up against Kant, Hegel, those big names.
But that's what makes Luhmann so fascinating, I think.
Our guide for this deep dive is Hans-Georg Mahler, who wrote Luhmann in a Philosophy Context.
And one of his main arguments is you can't get Luhmann unless you see him in dialogue with all the philosophers who came before him.
Like he's building on them, but then taking things in some pretty unexpected directions.
Yeah, he has these like mind-bending twists.
So let's start with someone Luhmann really admired.
Kant.
I know you're a fan of Kant's work on epistemology, like how we know things.
Right, the big how do we know what we know
Oh.
question. Both Kant and Luhmann were obsessed with that.
But for Luhmann, it wasn't just about individual minds shaping reality, right?
No, he took that idea and, well, systematized it. He went big.
Instead of just our minds, it's like whole systems are constructing reality.
Exactly. And not just human systems either, but biological systems, social systems, even technological ones.
Whoa. So reality is less like one objective thing and more like a mosaic, with each system contributing its own piece.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's less about the reality and more about multiple realities.
Okay, so for example, how would a legal system construct reality differently than, say, a religious system? How would Luhmann see that?
Well, Mahler uses the example of the legal system in the book. For Luhmann, law isn't really about finding some ultimate truth or perfect justice. It's about creating this framework for resolving disputes, keeping social order, even if that means like oversimplifying things.
Like boiling things down to just guilty or not guilty.
Right, exactly. Fitting complex situations into these legal categories.
So it creates its own reality in a way by setting up those categories and procedures.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how the legal system works, how it makes sense of things.
Makes sense. But that's where things get tricky, right? When systems with different realities clash.
Yeah, you get these points of friction. Like, think about science versus religion.
Right. They're both trying to explain the world, but in totally different ways.
And when those explanations contradict each other,
Yeah.
well, conflict.
Okay, so if reality is this multifaceted thing shaped by all these different systems, does that mean there's no such thing as truth?
That's where Luhmann gets really interesting. He wouldn't say truth doesn't exist, but it's always contingent,
Continuing.
meaning it depends on the system you're in. What's true for a scientist might not be true for an artist.
Or a religious person.
Right. Each system has its own criteria for what counts as true.
And this is definitely stretching my brain a bit. Okay, so we've got Kant's idea of the mind shaping reality, which Luhmann expands to systems. And each of these systems makes its own reality with its own version of truth.
Yeah, it's a pretty radical departure from how we usually think about these things.
How did other philosophers influence this? Who else did Luhmann grapple with?
Well, he took on some of the biggest names, and it wasn't always about agreeing with them. Sometimes it was more about,
Like a productive argument.
yeah. So, next up on our Luhmann tour, let's talk about Hegel.
Okay, bring on Hegel.
Now, Mahler says Luhmann admired Hegel's ambition, that attempt to build a complete system explaining everything.
Right, Hegel went big.
But he also had some serious disagreements with Hegel's main ideas.
Ah, so what were the sticking points?
Hegel was all about unity, history as this grand narrative leading towards a final synthesis.
Bringing it all together.
But Luhmann, as we've seen, was more interested in the differences, how systems stay unique even while interacting.
It's like Hegel striving for a symphony and Luhmann's more into the individual instruments.
A good analogy. Luhmann thought Hegel ignored the real complexity of the world.
Too neat and tidy, maybe.
And that appreciation for messiness, that might have drawn Luhmann to another big thinker.
Are you thinking Marx? Because Marx was all about shaking things up, seeing the world in constant flux, driven by social and economic forces.
Yeah, and Luhmann was really intrigued by Marx's emphasis on like social constructs, especially his critique of the economy.
That the economy isn't this natural thing, it's something we made.
And that resonated with Luhmann's whole idea about systems creating reality.
So they both agreed the world isn't just given, it's made. But I imagine Luhmann, with his systems focus, also went in different directions than Marx.
Oh, absolutely. Marx is passionate about human agency, social change, even revolution. Luhmann was more detached, analytical.
So while Marx is calling for the workers to unite and overthrow the system, Luhmann's maybe saying, hold on, let's analyze how the system actually works.
More about understanding the mechanics of it, less about taking sides.
So where does that leave Luhmann in relation to Marx, critic, successor, something else?
It's complicated. Muller calls it a mix of admiration and a decritique.
Taking some key ideas, but seeing them through his own system's lens?
And that lens leads him to, well, a less utopian view of things.
Okay, fascinating. So, from Marx, where does this intellectual journey go next?
Well, there's one more philosopher we have to talk about who Luhmann drew from heavily, and it might seem surprising, Edmund Husserl.
Husserl. But he's all about phenomenology, right? Consciousness, experience.
Mm-hmm.
How does that connect to Luhmann's grand systems?
It's actually brilliant how he makes the connection. Both Husserl and Luhmann were fascinated by how meaning gets created.
Okay.
But Husserl focused on individual minds, while Luhmann took that focus and scaled it UP to entire systems.
So instead of asking, how does my mind make sense of things, it's how does a legal system or a religion make meaning?
Exactly. He took terms like intention, horizon, world things Husserl used for individual consciousness and applied them to, well, everything.
Like systems have a kind of consciousness, their own way of perceiving the world.
Not literally thinking or feeling, no, but they do have this internal logic, this way of making sense of things and reacting.
So it's not about us humans anymore. It's about how these systems are doing the work.
That's where the real action is for Luhmann.
This is blowing my mind a little bit. Okay, so we've got pieces from Kant, Hegel, Marx, Husserl, all woven into Luhmann's own theory.
It's a tapestry, for sure.
But there's got to be at least one more big philosophical fight coming up, right?
Oh, definitely. We can't talk about Luhmann without mentioning his most famous rival, Jürgen Habermas.
Bring on the heavyweight bout.
This was a huge debate in intellectual circles.
Yeah, Habermas, the champion of reason and communication.
Going up against Luhmann and his systems analysis.
Mahler calls it a clash of the titans. What were the main things they disagreed on?
Well, it goes back to their views on reason and society. Habermas, from the critical theory side, he believed in rational discourse.
Like talking things out, finding common ground.
Exactly. Using reason to build a better, fairer world.
And Luhmann. I'm guessing he wasn't so optimistic.
He was way more skeptical about reason solving everything. He said systems, like law or politics, they have their own logic.
Their own agendas, maybe.
Right, which isn't always about being rational or reaching consensus.
So Habermas sees a path to a more reasonable society.
Mm-hmm.
And Luhmann's saying, hold up, these systems have their own ways of doing things.
Yeah, they might not be swayed by just good arguments.
And that played out in how they saw, like, the role of the state, even democracy itself.
Habermas wanted a strong public sphere where people could debate openly.
Like a true meeting of the minds.
But Luhmann was more interested in how systems, like the media, they filter information.
Simplify it, maybe even distort it.
And that limits real deliberation, according to Luhmann.
So they're both concerned with communication, but in totally different ways.
Habermas is looking at the ideal, the potential of communication.
And Luhmann's more focused on how it actually plays out in these messy systems.
And that leads them to different conclusions about how to fix problems.
Right. Habermas might push for reforms, more transparency.
But Luhmann would probably analyze, like, the unintended consequences of those reforms.
How systems might just co-opt them or make things even more complex.
Exactly. It's a different way of thinking about social change.
So we've got this battle of ideas, huge implications for how we understand reason, communication, all that. Where does Muller himself stand? Does he pick a side?
Well, he's a scholar, so he tries to stay impartial.
Fair enough.
But he does a great job explaining both sides of the argument.
It's like rival schools of thought. Even in philosophy.
And it makes you think, whose side am I on?
But speaking of different schools of thought, how did Luhmann relate to postmodernism? That was a big thing going on in his time.
That's a good question. And it's one scholars have debated for a while. Muller says Luhmann wasn't a, like, card-carrying postmodernist.
But he had some things in common with them.
Definitely. Especially that skepticism of grand narratives, universal truths.
So not signing any manifestos, but playing in the same intellectual sandbox.
What connected them was this idea of multiple realities.
Which we've been talking about all along.
Right. That resonates with the whole postmodern critique of objective truth.
Reality being socially constructed, all that.
And both Luhmann and postmodernists, like Foucault, they looked at how power shapes our understanding of the world.
Not just what's the truth, but whose truth is this?
Yeah. And that shared focus on the constructed nature of reality, it made both Luhmann and the postmodernists skeptical of these big overarching stories.
Like, no Hegelian march of progress for them.
Instead, it's about the fragments, the contradictions, all the different perspectives.
Embrace the chaos.
Exactly. That's a hallmark of both Luhmann's theory and postmodernism.
So, allergic to simple answers, easy solutions, any one grand narrative.
It's a huge E shift from traditional philosophy, which was often searching for those big unifying theories.
And that's part of why Luhmann is so challenging, right?
He forces us to deal with the messiness of things, the fact that there aren't always easy answers.
It's kind of humbling, intellectually.
But if we're embracing multiple realities, how do we make sense of anything? Does it just become anything goes?
Like a free-for-all of ideas?
That's a valid concern. Luhmann grappled with that too.
So what's his answer?
Not relativism, exactly. It's about understanding how systems work, how they shape what we see as true.
Not saying all truths are equal, but understanding the context they come from.
Right. And this is where his idea of operational closure gets really important.
Okay, we touched on that earlier, but I'm still a bit fuzzy on it. Sounds like a system shutting itself off from the world.
It's not about isolation, though. It's more like systems have their own internal rules, their own way of operating.
Okay, so give me an example. How does this work in real life?
Think of a computer program. It has its code, its rules. It can take in input from outside.
Data, commands, all that.
But it processes that input based on its own WN logic, not just reacting to the outside world.
So the program's actively shaping the information it gets.
That's operational closure. Mm-hmm. Systems are self-referential. They do their own thing.
And how does this apply to, say, the legal system?
Well, law has its own language, its procedures, its definitions of justice, fairness.
It's not just reflecting some objective reality out there.
It's building its own BWIN version of reality, its own way of making sense of things, resolving disputes.
That's a powerful thought.
And it helps us understand why different systems, each with their own closure, they clash.
It's not just individuals disagreeing, it's whole systems with different worldviews.
And that's where things get really interesting in terms of understanding society.
It's like we're not just dealing with people, we're dealing with these invisible systems.
Shaping our thoughts, our values, everything.
And to navigate that, Luhmann gives us another concept. Structural coupling. That one's been bouncing around in my head too. It's about how these different systems, they interact.
Exactly. They're closed off in a way, but they still find ways to connect, to exchange information.
Without losing their own identity.
Like imagine two dancers, each with their own style, but they're still dancing together.
Okay, I can picture that.
Think about politics and the media.
Two very different beasts.
But they're constantly influencing each other, shaping public opinion.
The media reports on an event. That puts pressure on politicians, who then make new policies.
It's a constant back and forth, a complex dance.
Okay, so we've got operational closure, systems creating their own logic, and structural coupling, how they interact.
It's a whole new language for understanding the world.
But how does this apply to, like, real life experiences? You mentioned Luhmann had some interesting things to say about love.
Yeah, love. Not exactly what you'd expect a systems theorist to tackle.
It's such a personal thing, right? Not some cold, abstract system.
A Luhmann always comes back to meaning. How does it get created?
And for him, even love is shaped by social stuff, right? Norms, expectations.
It's not this pure natural force that just exists outside of everything else.
So he's saying even something as intimate as love is influenced by these systems we're part of.
He goes even further. Love itself is a system, in a way.
Why?
A system of communication that makes its own little reality. Think about all the rituals of romantic love.
Like candlelit dinners,
yeah.
Saying I love you, all that.
Exactly. Those aren't just random things. They're part of this whole meaning-making system, telling us what love, I ask how it should look.
Love has its own internal logic, its own rule book.
Right. And that rule book is always changing, influenced by culture, technology, everything.
Like online dating has totally changed how people meet, how relationships form.
Now those platforms are part of the love system, shaping our expectations and experiences.
It's kind of wild to think about it that way. But if love is a system, does that make it less real?
Luhmann's not trying to devalue love. He's just trying to figure out how it works, how meaning gets created within this specific system.
So it's not like he's saying love is just social programming.
No, it's more about looking at how love gets expressed differently in different contexts.
Okay, that makes sense. So what are some of the key insights he gets from analyzing love this way?
Well, he says modern love is very contingent.
contingent, meaning...
It's not guaranteed, not predetermined. It's a choice, something you negotiate.
So no destiny, no finding the one.
Not in Lumen's view. Relationships are more fluid, more open-ended.
We're not just following a script anymore.
And because of that, we're more reflexive about love. We think about what it means to us, what we want from it.
It's not just blindly following traditions.
We're making conscious choices, setting our own expectations.
Which can be both exciting and kind of scary.
Exactly. Freedom to define love on your own terms, but also more responsibility.
It's a far cry from those fairy tale romances.
But it feels more realistic, don't you think? More honest about how love actually works today.
Definitely more complex, but also maybe more empowering. We have more agency in our own love lives.
That's one way to put it. Lumen's view isn't romanticized, but it acknowledges our power to shape our own romantic destinies, even if they're always changing.
Okay, so from Kant to Hegel to Marx to Husserl, we've covered a lot of ground here, and even touched on love through this systems theory lens.
And what's amazing is how Lumen's theory applies to so much.
It helps us see connections we might otherwise miss.
It's a powerful way of looking at the world, even if it doesn't give easy answers.
Which I think is a good reminder as we wrap up this deep dive. Lumen wasn't about simplifying things.
He was about challenging us, making us think harder about the systems all around us.
And maybe, by understanding them better, we can actually start to influence them.
Shape our own realities, make the world a little less confusing.
Now that's a thought-provoking idea to end on. Thanks for joining me on this Lumen adventure. It's been quite a ride.
My pleasure. And for all you listeners out there, keep exploring Lumen's work. It might just change how you see everything.
Until next time, folks.